What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Life is Beautifully Complex. This is episode 4, and we're going to be talking about mental health. This is crazy.
Wow. We're already on episode 4, and it's honestly a big episode.
I know. And we've been getting a lot of listeners and a lot of people reaching out saying that what we're talking about is helpful and they can relate to, which is really cool.
Which I'm so happy about. And, like, thank you to all of you guys who love listening to us, even though we're crazy. And we're glad that you guys are able to relate to everything that we're saying.
Yeah, last week was definitely a big week and a big episode. And since last month was Mental Health Awareness Month, we figured we should do an episode on mental health and kind of what it means to us and what it means to kind of take care of your mental health and what we do
right
for self-care.
And honestly, I think for me, tying into that, it was also Asian Pacific Heritage Month. And like in both of those big things in one month was just a lot of like, whoa,
for me. So explain to me, like, what do you do for that? Like, what are there specific traditions or?
So basically, it's just being proud of being Asian or an Asian American. Definitely, we're getting a lot of spotlight in the media now. And it's just basically a time where, because we had these stereotypes in like media and just in life in general, and for it to grow more, we, instead of a week now in May, it's dedicated to a whole month to recognize all the Asian and Asian Americans that have gone through so much and just being proud about who we are.
When did that change to go from a week to a month?
I honestly can't remember off the top of my head, but it was actually a big change because it was like everybody has their specific months and like Asians and Asian Americans get a week and we're just like, what?
I don't. Was it recently that it changed?
I don't think it was too recent. I think,
but because it used to be a week.
Yeah, it used to be a week. And I think when we started getting more popular in media, they changed it to a month after seeing how much pride that we have in ourselves. So I'm happy it's a month.
It's important. Like, I remember when we first met and you were talking about K-pop and like all of that, like I had no idea what that was,
right?
You know, and now, like last night I was watching the Wango Tango live and they had a K-pop group on there. It wasn't BTS, I can't think of the name of them. It was something by something together something.
It was probably TXT, Tomorrow
by
Together. Yeah, they're a new K-pop group that's under the same company as BTS.
Yeah, they're really good. And like, I still don't, it's interesting because I was sitting there watching it and I was like, you know, this, like, immediately like was judgmental, which I try not to do in music, but like, just solely based on the fact that I didn't understand it. So, and then I was like, I need to give this a shot. Like, this isn't, like, they're not doing this, like, because their movements and the words, like, to me, knowing all the stuff I know about music, just, it looked to me like childish. And but then I actually like listened to it and watched their movements and realized that it's just like, that's K-pop, and that's like, and it then when I looked at it open-mindedly, I was like, this is actually pretty cool. And like, I couldn't do that.
It's gotten so big lately. And honestly, I like that representation. And also not even just in music, but in like movies as well. But yeah, I have been a fan of K-pop for years now. And back to like not understanding what they're saying, I will be controversial and be like, everybody listening to Despacito and Taki Taki.
Well, I don't even mean like they're not just like the language difference, just like they were singing about like, I think because they have a, and anybody that isn't from like natively English speaking places, like their way of talking about things or singing about things are a lot different. So the way they're singing and trying to express themselves when they're singing in English, it's maybe not how we would say things.
Yeah.
So it's, I was like, I don't know what they're trying to say, because they were talking about, like, being a dog or something. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
But then I was like, okay, now I understand what they're saying. Like, it's not controversial. It's actually, like, really good.
Yeah, like, the song titles can be a little iffy sometimes, but, like, when you actually, like, learn the lyrics and, like, look up the translations, you're like, oh, now I understand. Because a lot of K-pop groups, even though they have, like, different song titles, they talk heavily about, like, societal issues and, like, even having relatable, like, meanings towards, like, love and friendship and relationship, and it's just something, like, really, really big, and I'm really happy about that, and I think more people should give it a try.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you don't like it, that's fine, but,
I was getting into it. It was really good, and they were such good dancers. I was like, wow. And then I remember it because you do the dance covers. I was like, oh, I wonder if Sabrina does this. This is
cool. I haven't learned theirs yet, but...
It was super intricate. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was really cool. And so having gone on Warped Tour with CrossFaith, like being on their bus, I could pick up on some of the things, like when they were interviewing them. And right. Just their excitement and the way they express themselves is so... It's refreshing because... They don't have, like, that... I feel like here, like, in America, we judge so much, and, like, mm-hmm. people aren't themselves, like, or, like, naturally themselves.
Right.
And they were just, like, super excited, like, yeah. So... And so much themselves, like, letting themselves shine through.
Which
without
I
any...
love so much. And then they get so much support when they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes for, like, the K-pop community as well, because there's so many international fans. Like, it's hard fighting for a ticket, and one of my favorite artists is actually coming to the U.S. for her U.S. and Canada tour, and I honestly might just drop money for that, because I love her
so
much.
I think, like, OK Rock,
One OK Rock
is, are they playing Warped Tour?
I think so, but I don't think they're playing Atlantic City, which I'm really, really bummed about, because I miss them. Because they left right before the Mansfield date when I went to my first Warped Tour back in, like, 16, I think.
Yeah.
But, yes. But, like, even on the topic of that, like, K-pop has helped me tremendously, like, mentally.
Yeah.
And, like, one group has just gotten me through all the rough times. I've been with them since they started releasing songs back in 2012. And just having them and knowing that their music can help me also helps me cope with all the mental health struggles that I had. So K-pop has been really, really big for me.
I think music in general has such healing powers. Like, I know when I lost my cousin to suicide, there was so much music that I started listening to because it was I had his CDs.
Mm-hmm.
So I started listening to, like, Linkin Park and you know, I think, like, Nine Inch Nails and stuff, like,
right.
But music that he listened to that probably hit home for him or helped him through things, I started listening to, and then I started listening to more bands,
right.
You know, that spoke heavily about just everyday struggles, and then, you know, you relate to that, and then mm-hmm. you find meaning in them.
Right.
And, I mean, I use music, I'm like an audiophile.
Oh, big one.
I use music to get through, like, any situation.
Right.
You know, so, like, there was another singer on that festival last night, or that show last night, her name's Fletcher,
mm-hmm.
and, I mean, I think every song she puts out, I'm like, yeah, I relate to that.
Like, right. So. I think it's a big thing for musicians and just people listening to others' songs to find that meaning and to have them just be so relatable.
Yeah.
It's a way for others to express themselves in the way that they can't if they don't have, like, that creative output that mm-hmm. they are searching for, that they don't have because they've chosen a different path and just have that lack of creativity, which isn't bad. But you have that gateway from those artists.
I know that, you know, because we have the mental health nonprofit. Like, I know a lot of the kids that reached out, they have said, like, multiple bands or musicians have helped, their songs have helped them through things. And, like, I know that, like, growing up, like, I constantly had headphones in and, like, was listening to music. And I don't think I could have gotten through most of the struggles in my life without music. Like, I don't...
Oh, yeah, I totally feel that.
Like, even when I'm just, like, if I'm happy, if I'm angry, sad, whatever, like, in the car, I'll blast a song, and, like, I feel it.
There's always a song for every mood. Like, you can't escape from it, because when you're happy, you'll just play that one upbeat song. I know when I'm actually trying to find happiness, I blast Steve Aoki's Pursuit of Happiness.
That's such a good song.
It is. Oh, hearing it live was even better. But, yeah, when I'm just looking for that just burst, I just would go to that song. And even when I started listening to K-pop, I was always judged for it. Mm-hmm. So, like you, I was always headphones in, world out, and because no one would understand. And people were telling me that it's a phase. Like, your music is just a phase. But here I am now, what is it, 7 years later, still listening to K-pop. Still listen to the other emo music that I still listen to.
Just on the ride home from Jackman, my mom and I were listening to My Chemical Romance and Taking Back Sunday. So, like...
Oh, what a throwback.
Yeah, that music, like... I was telling her, I was like, I don't know when I went from listening to, like, Britney Spears to having my walls plastered with, like, you know... bands from AP Magazine and, like...
Right? When you had your photo frames in the Paramore album.
Still up there.
Like, that reminds me of the time where you and I went to Jackman with our friend Becca, and on the way back, she fell asleep, but you and I were just jamming to old school pop punk bands.
I love it because, like, I don't listen to it regularly, so... When I do listen to it, it's such a nostalgic feeling.
It's always brings the me best,
right back.
Right, best feeling ever.
But yeah, so like obviously music is a huge part of healing and taking care of your mental health, or like ways of coping. But what are some things that you do? Like, what are some struggles you have, first of all, and then what do you do for self-care?
So mainly the struggle I have is just the normal, like, depression.
Isn't that crazy that it's normal?
I know. The fact that I have to say that it's normal, because there's just different types of levels of depression.
But the fact that our generation is, like, it's normal.
It's normal to be depressed. Depressed because of everything that's been happening in the world and how we can't afford anything.
Right.
We have to go to school and be in debt for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
But I also have two different types of anxiety. I have the, I don't want to say normal, but like the general...
General anxiety.
And then I also have social anxiety. And social anxiety holds me back from a lot of things. If I didn't have a coping method for my social anxiety, I probably wouldn't have the connections that I do have right now. And it sucks because I normally, to begin with, am a shy person. And then being shy on top of having social anxiety is just mainly having me backed into a corner.
Right.
And with being backed into a corner, I'll just have my random panic attacks from general anxiety and all of that. And then recently, I'm okay with my depression and anxiety being mixed. I know how to deal with it now. Mm-hmm. But those are the mainly three things that I'm going, like, I have right now. And yes, I have been diagnosed, so I'm not self-diagnosing myself.
So what do you do to, like, for self-care, how do you cope
aside from music? Self-care, I work out religiously now. So having that hour to myself and actually being with music, because I work out with music, gives me a clear headspace, because it makes me work on myself. because at the moment I am going through like a weight loss, healthier lifestyle change journey type of thing. I also write a lot, more creative writing, really bad at script writing because even though my major is film, I can't put anything into scripts. Besides working out, I also dance a lot. I haven't been able to do that recently though. But I think just me being by myself helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And gathering all my thoughts, sorting them out, playing like white noise or something in the back. I'll treat myself once in a while to something that I either really, really want or should be doing for myself. And after maybe 2 hours, maybe three, depending on how bad it is, it'll be a lot better than what it started with. I started with, so.
Yeah, I think I've definitely, in the past, like, I was diagnosed with anxiety, depression. Like, I definitely have some PTSD from losing my cousin. And mm-hmm. as far as the anxiety goes, I have severe anxiety surrounding just, like, life in general sometimes. And right. depending on situations, like, obviously during my past relationship, like, because it was so toxic, like, I suffered so badly with anxiety every day. And it was this, like, uncontrollable, like, couldn't breathe, pain in my chest, like, constant anxiety, like, so worried all the time and so upset all the time. And then I also struggle a lot with social anxiety. Like, I don't leave my house, really. Like, I would rather be at home. And it's something that I'm working on, trying to put myself out there a little more. Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to go to the gym with you. But right. still, like, it takes a lot to leave and, like, leave my comfort zone and, like, go be around people. And so I'm definitely working on it, like, some of the stuff, like, mm-hmm. now recognizing all of that and having my anxiety get so bad, you know, the right. past few months or whatever, like, yeah. I started, like, doing things like having a lot of candles lit or, like, you know, things that, like, really help with my anxiety are, like, making sure my room's clean right. and, like, clean sheets all the time and, like, just things that I can control, like
right.
getting better about, like, different self-care things, like you know, having a good, like, I don't know, like washing my face
right.
you know,
yeah, like a good routine
because routine
when you hit that the lowest level of, like, depression or anxiety, you can honestly neglect yourself, and I think it's really, like, a good thing that you're doing all those things
exactly. And, like, and just doing, like, creative things. Like yeah. you said, like, dancing and stuff like that. I, you know, doing this and working a lot helps. Mm-hmm. It helps with, well, it adds anxiety sometimes, but
I think that's more just, like, a good level of stress that you yeah. need in your life.
Yeah, like, I need to be active. Like, my brain needs to be active, and when it's not is when it gets bad. Because right. then I'm, like, I start thinking about everything and stressing about everything and worrying about everything.
Yeah, 'cause you're not doing anything. Like,
right.
you're so used to, like, doing everything. And I also think it helps when you're with somebody that you're comfortable with.
Yeah. I think that, do you think that you're an introvert or an extrovert?
I am an ambivert.
What is that? I didn't know that was a thing.
It means, well, my Myers-Briggs says that, that I'm an introvert, but I personally see myself as an ambivert. As in, I fall in the spectrum between an introvert and an extrovert.
So I think that I looked up, like, what it means to be an introvert and an extrovert, because mm-hmm. I was like, well, sometimes I'm extroverted. But what it really means is, like, do you recharge by being alone, or do you recharge by being around people?
Right.
And for me, it's definitely being alone.
Me too. And there's also a thing about being introvertedly extroverted.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically the definition of us.
Yeah. We are, yeah.
Because There are times where I just don't want to leave the house, but I force myself to get up and leave the house just for that spark of energy.
Yeah.
So I can start my mind and start my brain to get moving, and then when I need to recharge, I'm always by myself in my room.
Mm-hmm.
Doing something for myself.
Yeah, sometimes I literally just have to, like, lay down and, like, close my eyes and just, like, relax.
Yeah,
like,
same.
I sometimes, like, I get to a point where even just, like, people talking around me or sound just gets me so anxious and, like, so upset.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a hard way to live. But it is.
Because I've, like, it's passing up opportunities for you to go meet new people, but mm-hmm. you can't do it because you either haven't recharged.
I hate meeting new people.
Like, you haven't recharged yet, or you just don't want to be surrounded by a big group. And yeah. that's just playing the introverted part. Also, one thing that I really love to do is just go out for a drive.
Oh, like, I love that.
By myself.
Me too.
That's why everybody looks at me crazy when I'm driving home back and forth to and from school.
Yeah.
Like, that's a 5-hour drive by yourself out of you. I'm like, I'm an introvert. I love driving by myself.
Me too. When I drive to Jersey or wherever, I just, like, put a podcast on or music, or sometimes it's just silent and I'm just, like, zoned into driving, you know, and it's,
or you call me.
Yeah,
you
know? I call you and we talk the entire time. But yeah, it's, I'm an introvert and sometimes I'm extroverted, but I definitely recharge by being alone.
Yeah, same. I'm definitely introverted. I can be extroverted when it's people that I'm comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when I have to be.
Right, same.
It's not like I choose to be extroverted because, like, I can't, I freeze up. I can't just be like, hi, my name is Sabrina, nice to meet you, right. all that. I'm just like, no, I'm just going to stand in the corner by myself, you know?
I have this weird thing where, like, if too much attention is on me or if, like, somebody expects me to do something or like, I'm the center of something, like, that's mm-hmm. a really uncomfortable place for me. I hate that.
Same.
And I shut down. Like, I literally just shut down and I can't get myself out of it.
Right.
Like, I worry a lot. Like, when we were on vacation, I saw that the beach we were going to, like, I researched it because I'm so scared of sharks, and then right. saw that there had been sharks there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
like, at that moment, I was so anxious about that because of that fear that
mm-hmm.
then it just, like, multiplied in my brain and became such a big
right.
thing. And
yeah.
then I was so upset and so, like, shut down and, like, couldn't enjoy myself because
mm-mm.
I just get so anxious about things. And, like,
right.
especially with fears and, like, you know, I can't pull myself out of it. Sometimes.
Oh, no, I feel you sometimes. It's just, it sucks for me because since I'm an introvert, but I do a lot of extroverted things.
Yeah.
Like, in my field, I have to be extroverted. I hate having the attention on myself, but when I'm directing something, everybody's looking at me. Everybody's
right.
listening to me. I'm like, okay, my voice gets, like, a little bit higher, and I, like, talk.
Your voice gets, like, an octave higher.
And I'm like, yeah. okay, guys, so, like, let's do this, and I'm gonna have you do this, and this, and this.
Yeah.
And then when normally my voice is basically deeper than it is, when I have attention on me, and not even that, I'm also slightly a performer as well, because I've done talent shows in front of crowds, I've performed in front of people.
I've done talent shows. How weird is that?
That's weird for the both of us.
I danced
yeah,
in
me
a talent
too.
Show.
Me too.
As a kid, I was like, I sang, I was in, like, all this stuff, like, at school up in Jackman, but I think it's because I knew everybody in that town.
Right.
You know, so I was comfortable. But, like,
but
I would never
then,
do that now.
I still felt uncomfortable because I was in such a big crowd.
Yeah.
Usually when I'm performing, I was performing in, like, coffee house stuff, you know,
yeah.
like a little mini group of people that, like, I knew so well. And then, like, I started performing in front of bigger crowds, and now I'm doing so many things in front of a lot of other people, and it makes me wonder what happens one day I win an award for a film. And
you're that
I,
person that's just up there and you're just like,
I'd cry.
I would cry.
I'd cry.
I wouldn't get up. I wouldn't go up there.
I'd cry and be like, oh my God, this is so, like, anxiety ridden, but thank you so much for the award.
Yeah, you know what's weird is, like, my biggest like dream in life and goal in life is to someday have a TEDx, like present at TEDx.
Oh my God. I've been thinking about that too.
Isn't that nuts? Like me in front of like a bunch of people, I cannot imagine it, but like, I feel when I'm passionate about something like mental health and talking about like suicide awareness or things like that, or Can You Hear Me, the nonprofit, like I can talk about it because I know it and I'm passionate about it and I believe in it.
Right.
So in situations like that, I think I'm fine. But like anytime else, I'm just like a mess.
I mean, it goes the same for me because like my biggest dream is to win an Oscar, a Golden Globe. And
you're going to do it.
And being in front of that big audience and also being on TV, just like, thinking about it now.
Of your peers too, like of other...
Like, my heart's already racing right now.
Like, we need a break.
Getting anxiety on this podcast right now.
Not the intent. So I think, like, people, obviously everyone has different ways of dealing with their mental health. And I think there's so much more conversation about mental health now. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, even just in the past, like, couple years, the stigma is a little bit, like... broken.
It's like, you know, it's like cracking like an egg, you know?
But there's still, I mean, I work in mental health and there's still stigma and there's still like, you know, insurance companies won't pay for some mental health services because they don't believe...
rolling my eyes right now.
Like, because they don't believe in it or whatever. Like, you know, kids have a lot to deal with these days, and like, I don't think you should ever belittle somebody because of their stress and anxiety or like what they're going through, and like,
exactly,
and it happens constantly. Like, you're viewed as like too sensitive, or you're, you know,
right,
too emotional, or you're, you know, you're not
just weak,
yeah, you're know? Weak you're or whatever. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been called like too sensitive by various important people in my life, and like,
mm-hmm,
that is so demeaning and so like, especially like considering I am a sensitive person, like,
right,
to put somebody down for being sensitive, like, do you not think that's gonna cause them like problems?
Right? It's just like,
it's wrong.
It's so bad.
And people, like, it's getting a little bit better, but like, people are just unkind.
Yeah.
They're unkind on the internet. They're unkind in person.
That's like something that you really can't help, though.
I know. Like, because that's just people in general.
Yeah, like, it's just people in general. And just more of all of everybody going through what they're going through, just sticking together will make it better.
And you
make
have it
a little easier.
You have to wonder, like, what are the bullies and the unkind people going through in their lives that cause them to lash out like that? And, right, like, because I aside from, like, sociopaths and like, you know, psychopaths, yeah, like, there's not, I don't believe that people are just unkind and mean for no, right, reason,
which, you know, doesn't mean we're giving a pass for everything.
No, not a pass at, like, all.
Not a pass at all, but because you never know what is going on behind a computer screen.
Right. I mean, you know, yeah, and I just think that if we spent, Even though we spend so much time, like, trying to stop bullying, which is so important, but sometimes I feel like we go about it the wrong way. Like, instead of trying to understand what those people are going through that caused them to be so cruel,
right,
you know, we almost, like, belittle them and, like,
yeah,
you know, like, make them the bad guy, which, like, what they're doing is wrong, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what can we do to help them so that they don't feel so badly about themselves or whatever that they have to go on and be unkind to other people? Like, I've seen influencers and actors, whatever, like, and people just go on their pages and say things to them that are so out there mean for no reason. Like, they don't know that person.
Right? They don't know their story, even if the influencers have voiced what their story is, like, other people on the internet still don't know because they only see that picture or that just one thing, like, right, that one vlog or whatever.
And why? Like, for what reason? Like, I don't understand what would cause somebody to go on to a page or whatever in a comment section and voice what they don't like about somebody. Like, why even, why take that time? Why are you even on that person's page if you don't like them? Like, it is so easy to just not have them in your life.
Right.
You know, like, there is zero reason for
there's
you to go
the
and, like...
There's the unfollow button, there's right. the unsubscribe, the block button. I honestly think, and people can fight me on this, that it's all just caused by their own insecurities and jealousies about what they wish they had.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Because...
For the most part.
Honestly, I get jealous. I have my own insecurities, but I wouldn't go and say something bad only because I can look at them and be like, oh, they're an influencer. They can influence me to be that way.
I agree. Like, someone said to me before, and obviously I'm not gonna say who, but like, that because of their childhood... It was causing them to be angry and mean and, like, mm-hmm. that's just who they were based right. on their childhood. And that, I just do, like, not believe in that at all. I wholeheartedly believe that you can change your path in life. And, like, I mean, I've gone through some of the worst stuff in my life and my time on this earth and... If I used that as an excuse to treat people poorly, I would be walking around just, like, bad-mouthing people constantly and mean and angry. And, like, I just think that you need... When that's a cycle in your life or a pattern, like, you need to change that. And, like, yeah. you cannot use like, your past as an excuse to be... cruel and unkind in your present life. Like, right. that's not okay.
Because you hold yourself accountable for that.
Exactly.
And you either have the chance to just own up to it and be a better person, because that's just so much negative energy and energy wasted for you to be doing something that could better yourself and make you a better person in general.
Right.
Just like, as a whole, as you, like, grow.
I've been... emotionally abused and, like, mentally abused and treated poorly and, like, you know, cheated on and what all these things, you know, and, like, I would not turn around and use that as an excuse to do those things to somebody else.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Never in a million years. And if I started to go down that path, like, I started to become an angry, upset person because right. of toxic things in my life,
yeah.
but, like, very quickly noticed that that was happening and chose not to go that way.
Right,
like,
exactly.
And chose to put a stop to that.
And not only you putting a stop to that, but then also just when you realize it, you also realize a little bit more about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, another piece of yourself to the point where you're just like, I can be better because even though this... toxic thing happened and it hurt me, I won't let that hurt me anymore, and I can make myself a better person so it doesn't happen again.
Right.
Because you might find somebody toxic to you, but even if you think that you're all okay, you might be toxic to another person. And that's just always a questioning thing. My phone's going off because I think my sister's hungry. But I just really believe that you could always be the best of yourself, but no matter what, there's always just a cycle of who's toxic for who.
Right.
And I think that gives everybody a chance to just grow as a person.
Yeah, I think that goes a lot to, like, self-care as well as, like, I love the saying, like, self-care isn't selfish, and, like, taking care of yourself first is so important. Not to say that you can't take care of yourself and right. also, like, be around people and, like,
yeah, yeah,
be
yeah.
in relationships and whatever right. else. But, like, is so vitally important to understand what you need in order to live a life that's healthy mentally, physically, whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
you need to know yourself and know what you need in order to give back to yourself and, like,
right.
grow.
And I think it's just more of the fact that, like, even if you're growing as a person, I think the most important thing is just to learn how to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even as cliche as it sounds, but I think there's a point. Actually, let me just say this. If you know me personally, you know that I hate cliches, but like I live by them anyway. But I think knowing to love yourself at a certain point as you're growing will help you a lot tremendously as you like move on in life, because if you're so insecure with yourself, you won't be able to give your all to even yourself or to other people. So I really think it's such an important like aspect to have. Even if it's hard, you will start somewhere, even in the smallest things in life, even like
right.
just going to go wash your hair.
Right.
It's a version of just loving yourself, you mm-hmm. know? And I just think that if you can't, then there's so many things that's going to hold you back.
Yeah.
Because I know one person, I know multiple people actually that just don't know how to love themselves as a person, that they get into all this drama and they're looking for, what's that word?
Like validation?
Yeah, like validation within other people, that you can't do it in yourself, and it's...
Yeah, I also think like it's so incredibly important to reach out. Like if you're struggling or you're feeling just down, or like you have something in your life that's like you feel like you can't do alone, like there is no shame in reaching out for help. And even if that's just in a friend or a parent or a family member, like it's so important. There's mm-hmm. so many resources out there.
Exactly.
And like take it from somebody who's like felt like severely depressed and lost somebody to suicide. Like it is so incredibly important to reach out in those moments, because I've been there. Like I know what that's like, and I know what it feels like to feel like you have nothing, and right. to feel like so low that there's just nothing left for you. But there is, and there's always hope. There's always someone out there willing to help you. There's always a resource. There's always going to be another day. Mm-hmm. It's going to get better. And it right. even if it takes a while, like it's important to know that there's people out there. Like if you need to hear this, like if you feel like nobody like cares, like we care. Even yeah, though exactly. we don't know you, we care. And like I just think that everybody deserves a like
yeah.
to be happy and to find love and to find happiness and whatever it is, and in whoever and with whoever, like
or whatever, or whatever, know, like you know, whatever you know. You do. I think I'm so glad that you started saying that, because it took me so long to even reach out and talk about the fact that I suffer from depression and anxiety and all that. So honestly, even if you wanna throw us a message, we'll always be there.
Mm-hmm.
Even anonymously, you can always leave a comment, talk to us on Instagram.
Yeah. I have a nonprofit called Can You Hear Me, for teens mostly, but mm-hmm. like anybody that's struggling, there's a forum and a, like right. email
yeah.
on our website, cyhm.org. And there's, I know, the Trevor Project, there's, right. like,
there's so NAMI, many things.
There's, you know.
And I just think that, like, even if it starts off as a kid, no matter how old you are, you can still have depression, anxiety, all these mental health
kids
issues.
Kids are diagnosed, like, so young.
And not even that, it doesn't even have to be kids. It could be, like, people, like, 30, 40 mm-hmm. years old, still going through it, still fighting, which I applaud you guys for. We're still happy you're here. Mm-hmm. And I just...
Honestly. It can hit any time.
Yeah.
And it's not something to be ashamed of. Even
Definitely
though, like,
not.
You may feel that way. We all struggle. I don't know anybody who doesn't struggle with something. Like,
right.
something. Even, like, if it's just a bad day. Like, people struggle because life is hard. And, like, there's nobody coasting through this life. And
no.
if they tell you they are, they're not.
They're lying.
Like, yeah,
they're lying.
They're lying to you. For sure. So, like... I don't know, reach out and, like, or if you think one of your friends is struggling through something, like, it's so impactful to just be kind to people and ask, like, how they're doing. And, like that's the biggest thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I've met people, like, through Instagram and stuff that I've just noticed them having hard times. And, like, it's so important to reach out to people, even if you're not, like, super close to them. Just that, like, hey, how are you doing? It goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. Just even a simple just checking up on you, even if you don't talk in forever.
Right. I think it can make or break. Like, it can be, like, the thing that helps somebody through their day, you know? Exactly. Like, I don't know. But, yeah, so we wanted to do this episode because, obviously, Mental Health Awareness Month means a lot to us, and now we're in June, and now it is Pride Month, and I am so excited.
Happy Pride to everybody.
I am so, so excited. I'm going to, I think we're both going to go, hopefully, to Portland Pride.
Yeah.
We are going to be at the Atlantic City Warped Tour during New York Pride, which I was so bummed I wanted to go, but our tent this year on Warped Tour has the Pride colors in it.
That's just amazing. I love it.
Yeah. And some really cool things, like, I don't know, this is my first year, like, being completely out and comfortable. I mean, I was last year a little bit, mm-hmm. but, like, I'm super comfortable about it now. So, like, our next week's episode is going to be about Pride and
my coming out story.
And I think we're going to have my friend Renee on to talk as well. And just talking about Pride and all of that. And it's a cool month.
I like it.
It's a colorful month.
It's a very colorful month. I even got, like, a Pride t-shirt at work.
Yeah.
And we're selling the Pride cups.
Yep. We'll talk about it all next week. Oh, definitely. We'll tell you all the things.
And if you want, you can also share your stories with us. We'll be happy to read them. And we would love to share them if you are more than willing to let us.
Yeah, there's actually a feature on Anchor that you can leave a message for us, which I think, and then I can feature it on the podcast, which would be really cool. I would love it if you guys would share some coming out stories or just stories.
Even, like, even mental health stories as anything. Well.
Please share those. Please ask any questions you want us to answer or anything you want us to talk about. And you can also send us messages on Instagram, right in the comments. Definitely. But yeah, so next week will be a cool week, and I'm excited for this month too. Let us know how you like this episode, the past episodes, and I think now you can listen to it on, like, any platform. So
any platform where you listen to your podcast, Google, Apple, Spotify, Anchor.
Oh, we're on Podcoin now, which Podcoin is,
never even heard of that.
So Podcoin is really cool. If you download it and you listen to podcasts through there, mm-hmm. every 10 minutes you get one, like, Podcoin, and then you can use those Podcoins to either donate to charities, which there's, like, feed the animals. There's, like, aww. You know, help homeless children. Right. And you can donate to these different charities with the pod coins. Or you can save them up and get, like, an Amazon gift card or something.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it's just from listening to your favorite podcasts. We're on there now, too. So if you want to listen and give back, it's a really cool platform. So
yeah, make sure to listen to us on all your platforms. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
It'll be linked below because, you know.
You know, we complicated, you know. Everything. Life is beautifully complex. That's what we're here for.
Yep. So we'll be back next week every Tuesday at 2 p.m.
Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah. See you later.
Bye.